Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning. Wednesday, August the 19th, 2026. 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. And I'm telling you, this traffic construction on Route 95, what a mess it is. But what can you do? You got to go up and down the roads. And hopefully, anybody who's went up Route 95, Marion, Mount Gilead Road, Mount Vernon Avenue, whatever you call it, in the last few days has made it up and down the street, I guess, with the best possible outcomes at this particular point with the construction going on. And with school being back in the full swing this week, you know, now there are school buses on the road in the morning, which always congests things at the fast food places, going to McDonald's in the morning, getting my drink. Even trying to get out of the Meyer parking lot becomes more difficult because Tri-Rivers is back in session. So you can definitely tell it is back to school season for sure. And you know what's interesting about the whole thing? When I first moved to where I live now, there was not an issue like this. But I think a lot of kids at River Valley must be open enrolled, or a lot of the parents drop their kids off at school and then they head toward Marion down Route 95. Well, here becomes the problem. When you try to pull out of the Meyer parking lot, Tri-Rivers is across the street. So you've got a lot of kids and a lot of teachers turning into Tri-Rivers. And then you've got a lot of kids coming, you know what, 1 or 2, 3 miles up the road from River Valley, parents, kids, whatever, coming toward Marion, either to get something from one of the restaurants in the morning before school, or having just dropped off their kid, or whatever it is. So you got traffic coming from that direction, you got traffic coming from the other direction, from the west end of town. People coming to Tri-Rivers. So it really becomes a little bit of a traffic jam there while Tri-Rivers is getting ready to start the day. And it also happens when Tri-Rivers lets out at the end of the day. Now, you don't have this problem during holidays, and you don't have this problem during the summer, but you know when school starts back up because the problem immediately starts again. And also, now on the other end of Route 95, down by the plaza and just beyond McDonald's, you've got the road construction. So getting down Route 95 in the morning is a little bit of a trick, but it's a much bigger trick in the afternoon right now because there are more cars on the road, I would say between 4 and 6 in the evening, and that's becoming a whole bigger mess going on. But you know what? We soldier on through. You know, yesterday I announced on the program, and it's on the news report, that the Kroger gas station on Route 95 next to Walmart, we thought was going to be started in April. The construction was going to start in April, sometime in late spring. And that was postponed because of permit issues per the Kroger company. Yesterday, the fencing went up in the Kroger parking lot because a lot of people have wondered, where is this gas station going to go, this fuel center? Well, apparently, it's going to be next to McDonald's in the parking lot, which I think is actually a better place for it to be than right out in front of Kroger. So for all of the people who were worried about the Kroger parking situation on Route 95, it's not going to be in front of the Kroger store. I mean, technically it is, but not right in front of the Kroger store where the parking is. It's actually more in front of like Payne's Pizza and what's the name of the shoe place on the end of the plaza there? Shoe Sensation, something like that. It's really more at the end of that parking lot is where the gas station will be. And then you've got McDonald's, and you've got that little roadway, that little area that you can drive through between McDonald's and the flower beds. And then it looks as if the Kroger gas station is going to be on the other side of those flower beds. That's the area they've got roped off in the parking lot. But I'll tell you, it's a big area. I thought it would be a rather small gas station. This is a big, big area. This goes from all the way out to the McDonald's area. Probably at least half of the way back in that parking lot toward Payne's and the shoe business back there. So that started. You can go out to the Kroger and Walmart parking lot and see the fence up now, the cyclone fence, and see what's going on there. So that's where we are. Construction's happening. Culver's continues to go up in the area. It looks like it's getting close to a finish. I think they need to pave the parking lot. But the building looks good, and it looks like they're doing some work inside the building. And then we've got the retirement community on University Drive across from what used to be the dorms. It's going up. I think that's going to be a while now. I certainly don't think that's by any means near end of construction, but it's going up as well. So there's the rundown right now of what's going on in Marion as back to school starts. And you know, buses were on the road this morning. I think this morning was the first morning I really saw buses out on the road. But I think today is the first day for Marion City school. So you're bound to see the Marion City school buses. By the way, phone lines are open if there's anything on your mind this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And just for an update, here we are, Wednesday morning, midweek, and still no word from the mayor on a possible veto for the flock camera legislation. So at this point, still no word on that particular legislation or if there will be a veto or not. And I don't know. Maybe we'll hear, maybe we won't. You know, I really do hope that the mayor does call in when he decides to do what he's going to do, so he can explain it a little bit to us, why he has chosen the path he has chosen. And I have said many times that really there are good cases to be made on both sides of this for him making a veto, doing a veto, and also not doing a veto. I really think that is a tough road right now for Mayor Collins. So whatever he decides, he decides. But at this point, no word has come down on if there will be a veto or not. But I think a lot of people would certainly say the clock is ticking on that particular issue. 740-383-9944, if you have anything to say. 23, coming up on 24 minutes past the hour. You know, can you imagine that we are more than halfway through the month of August? Kids are back in school. We're almost to autumn, September 21st, about a month away. Where does the time go? You know, you say that a lot. But where does the time go? But I will tell you this. Yesterday, I did do a little bit of a scan in the grocery stores, and I hardly saw any pumpkin spice items. Now, the reason I bring this up is because on my time hop, which apparently is an old term, apparently time hop is not a thing anymore, but yesterday I did look at my time hop, and 1 year ago yesterday, I had made a post on social media in which I had noticed that the Krispy Kreme pumpkin spice donuts were out, the Starbucks pumpkin spice lattes were out, and there were pumpkin spice Cheerios out. So, you know, it was the beginning of pumpkin spice season. Well, here we are, a day past that last year, and there are hardly any pumpkin spice items out that I can see. Now, we all know that pumpkin spice is the new social measuring stick in our society. If you get pumpkin spice, it means you are on the high end of the social scale. See, it's not really where you live, and it's not really how much money you make, and it's not really what group you run with. Really what it is, do you drink or eat pumpkin spice items? See, because that is where the real line of demarcation is drawn on, are you high end or are you low end? And I'm starting to worry for these people, because I don't see a whole lot of items out there. Now, does anybody else understand this? Does anybody else, first of all, understand the pumpkin spice craze? And beyond that, where are all the pumpkin spice items this year? Are you nervous that maybe they will not come? Is this a big fear? It could be. It could be. Now, something else we talked about yesterday on the program, which I'm telling you, I don't know why this is so interesting to me, but it is. And I don't know if more people are seeing this ad, because obviously the more time it's out there, the more people will see it. But has anybody seen the new Vivek Ramaswamy ad for governor? We talked a little bit about it yesterday. It's Vivek Ramaswamy getting a haircut, I think, from what would be his childhood barber. And basically, his barber is vouching for him for governor. Now, you know, I've seen a lot of political ads over the years, and I'm not sure, really at this point, if this ad is genius, because I remember it and we're talking about it here, or if this is hilarious. Because if you were going to have an ad in which somebody was going to vouch for you, I don't know that it would be your barber. But I guess the idea here is hey, look, I'm regular Joe, and I'm regular Vivek, and I get my hair cut at a barber, and I have since I was a child, and isn't that interesting, and so on and so forth. But this ad, I'm told, is getting a lot of attention. People like it. And I don't know, is it a good ad? Have more people seen it? Do you have any thoughts on this ad? This ad is just, it's mystifying to me. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'm fascinated by the ad. So if you've got anything to say about any of this morning, feel free to weigh in. The fact that school's back in, pumpkin spice things seem to be delayed. Holy mackerel, what are we going to do without the pumpkin spice? We still don't know about the mayor's veto or lack of a veto on the flock camera legislation. It's been, 9 days now since that legislation was passed? The traffic and the road closures on Route 95, not to mention the Culver's progression, the Kroger gas station progression on Route 95. I don't know what they're doing with the Starbucks, this new Starbucks they're supposed to be building over here on Delaware Avenue. Doesn't seem like a whole lot's going on there. Seems like they're pushing dirt around in that parking lot. Other than that, I don't know what they're doing with that. Of course, back to school time, and this Vivek Ramaswamy barbershop ad, which again, I think is fascinating. Does anybody have anything to say? 29 minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So essentially right now, we have got the Amy Acton tent ad, which I believe is actually called the tent ad, in which the ad starts out focusing in on a tent, and telling us that she and her brother lived in a tent when they were young, like 12 years old, and got out of a tent and obviously did great things. And then we've got the Vivek Ramaswamy, my barber vouches for me, for governor, ad. So this is what the media brain trusts are coming up with in our governor's race. So that's where we are this morning, this Wednesday morning, August the 19th, 2026. And again, the phone lines are open. If you have anything you'd like to say in regard to anything this morning, we'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Don't be shy this morning. Feel free to jump in and talk about whatever you would like to talk about. I have talked to a lot of people about whether or not they think the mayor is going to veto this flock camera legislation. And to be honest with you, people more or less are split on this whole thing. I think a lot of people think he's going to do it because of how he has told us he feels about flock cameras, that he is in support of them. And I think people are saying that this would be a help to the police force, the sheriff's station, so on and so forth. And the FOP has urged him to veto this, a group of which he is a member of. So I think there's that side of it. Then there's the side of it that says, well, city council passed to remove them. And is that what the people want? It's always hard to tell. So this vote is really, really complicated. But again, I think a major part of this vote is actually going to come down to a lot of what has happened on social media for the good and for the bad in this particular issue. Okay, let's see here. Oh, I'm getting a... Oh, Starbucks is starting to come up here from one of our listeners this morning. I'm being sent a picture. Apparently, they're not just pushing dirt around on the Delaware Avenue location. The Starbucks is starting to go up. Well, they are doing some work over there. So the Starbucks is, hey, you may be able to get your Starbucks coffee at a freestanding Starbucks over here on Delaware Avenue outside of the Kroger here, or the hospital on Delaware Avenue pretty soon. The place is going up. You know, I had not seen that. Well, I probably haven't driven down Delaware Avenue for the last couple weeks, at least in that direction, going south. I've went north down Delaware Avenue to where the station is here. But beyond that, I probably have not went south, but it looks like some headway's being made. Well, hey, by the time Christmas gets here, we might have a freestanding Starbucks on Delaware Avenue. We might have a Kroger gas station on Route 95. We might have a Culver's out on Route 95 in front of Myers. Hey, it might be big time as we go on down the road. Apparently, this construction has been done within the past day or two. Well, that's a lot of construction. Apparently, it doesn't take long to get a Starbucks up in a particular area. All right, let's see here from another listener this morning. The rich man trying to win over poor people whom he doesn't really care about or understand how we have to live. I've heard he has said disparaging things about Ohio. Is that true? Now, I guess that's probably about Vivek Ramaswamy. I don't know that he has said disparaging things about Ohio. I think he has said Ohio can get better. I think he said Ohio is not doing the greatest at this particular point, and things can get better. But I don't know that he has said anything disparaging beyond that. Does anybody like the barbershop ad? Has anybody seen the barbershop ad, or am I the only one? Well, no, yesterday one of our callers said they had seen the barbershop ad. I think it's interesting. Feel free to buzz in here this morning, 35 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You see, there's always things to talk about. And we can start on the local level here, talking about the flock camera possible veto or non-veto. We can go up to the state level and talk about these ads for governor. Barbershop ads and tent ads and so on and so forth. We can talk about the first day of school for a lot of people today, or the first day of school for a lot of people this week. You know, I do think that the first day of school is much harder on parents than it is on kids. Because I think people realize that the kids are getting older. And, you know, how many more of these first days are people going to have? You know, I was having a conversation via Messenger with somebody yesterday who I've known for a little while, and they were talking about it being the first day of school, and I said, you know, I bet it's a tough time for this person because there are only so many first day of schools left. You know, I think the person is in eighth grade now, the student's in eighth grade. Well, what is that? Four more first days of school? And then that's it. Because that's her last child. So that wraps it all up. And you know, I think the first day of school is a great reminder of that. And I think that causes a little bit of melancholy with people. Now, it's understandable. Because time, it's just a sign of time, isn't it? That time keeps going. And I have to assume that they felt this way because they did not respond to that comment. So that might have been another one of those offhanded remarks that I made, although I did not mean it to be, that was not taken well. But you never know. You know, who knows? Maybe they took it well. Maybe they didn't take it well. You never know with people, and you certainly never know within Messenger how things are going to go. But I'll tell you what, I am on the whole a nice person, and I'll get my barber in here to vouch for it. We'll get my barber in here, he'll tell you what a great guy I am, and then it'll clear that whole thing up, because that's how you do it now. Just ask Vivek Ramaswamy. I don't know, that whole ad is funny to me, but anywho, does anybody have any thoughts on this mayoral veto as time continues to tick by? Does anybody think the mayor's going to veto this? Does anybody think the mayor's not going to veto this legislation? I would not want to make a bet on this right now. I really would not. I think common wisdom would tell you that he probably is going to veto it. But I could not say that for sure. I could not say that that's more than a 50% bet, because I think there are reasons not to veto this. I think the fact that the sheriff has already said that the cameras would most likely be going away within the year because of funding running out, I think that's probably playing in to this veto decision. I think also the misinformation that has been put out on social media, I think had that not happened, this decision might be a little easier. I don't know. You know, I've been saying that for about a week and a half now. I just don't know when it comes to this legislation if we'll see a veto or not. But you know, it makes life interesting. Gives us something to talk about here in the morning. Coming up on 40 minutes past the hour. Hour number one this morning. And again, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If there's anything on your mind this morning, give us a buzz. 69 degrees. Here in Marion. You know, it doesn't really feel like August. You look at 69 degrees. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Something just popped in my head is that the sheriff, like you said, they keep saying that the cameras are going to be gone, you know, in less than a year anyways. So, but on one side of that coin, they kind of say, well, let's not do anything right now. Let's not because if we vote them out right now, you know, we got to pay $600 a piece to take them out and then move them out in the county or whatever. Okay? So what happens in the less than a year when the contract expires? I mean, don't they have to be removed then? Who pays for that?
Well, I think actually the $600 is for the relocation. I think removing them is not the same thing. I don't think. Now, you have to talk to the sheriff about that because
Well, it's confusing, though. I'm kind of... I mean, $600 to take a pole out of the ground and move it to another location, they're not hooked up to electricity. It's, you know, just seems a little strange. It's just something that popped into my head, though.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how much it costs to put them in. And you know, the sheriff put that price on there before this vote was ever taken. So I have to assume that came from somewhere. But I would imagine that alone is weighing on some people's mind with the city in the shape it's in and having 22 cameras.
Right, and as I said, though, but in less than a year, they're going to be removed anyways. So when they're removed anyways, who pays for that?
Well, I would imagine, now I don't know anything for sure about this, but I would imagine that it's the relocation, you know, digging the new hole, planting it in the ground, because $600 honestly doesn't seem like a whole lot of money, but when you multiply it by 22, it does.
And hey, don't you think part of that money and part of that bill would be taking the old one down, right? So if it's $600, where I'm going with that, I'm a contractor. If it's $600, if I'm giving you a price of $600, it's not just to relocate it. It's I got to dig it up. I got to take it out of the ground. I got to fix the hole or something that I'm removing it from. So half that $600 is $300. I mean, so you see where I'm going with that? They have to remove them anyways.
Right.
They don't necessarily have to relocate them.
Right, but actually, you know, the way this legislation went, my understanding back to 2023 is that the sheriff got the money. And he came in, and somehow the decision was made with the city to put them up. Now, I don't know if the city paid to put them up. Now, I think the city paid to fund their continuing operation, but I don't know if the city paid to put them up. I don't know that. And because the sheriff is the one who is now footing the bill because of his grant, I don't know if he would be responsible for taking them down when the grant expires. Now, that could be...
Well, I would think that would have to have been addressed in the grant or in the contract somewhere. I mean, does Flock retain ownership of these cameras? I mean, do they want them back, you know, once the contract expires? Would they want these cameras back? A lot of times, like with your cable boxes and stuff, if you've had them for a few years... By the time you're done using them, they're obsolete, and they'll say, just keep them, throw them away, or whatever. I mean, there's just a lot of questions there.
Well, there are, but I certainly don't... I honestly thought it would be larger than $600 to relocate these, because you consider you have to dig them up, and then you have to transport them to the county, and then you have to dig a new hole, and you have to plant it in the county. I could imagine that being $600 or more per camera.
I'm not saying the price is out of whack. Like I said, I'm a contractor. You know, it's what the market will bear. My point, I guess I'm trying to make, is before the vote, I took the comment from the sheriff as kind of a, hey, you know, think about this before you vote them out, because it's going to cost us $600 per unit to take them down and relocate them. So he was saying, you know, you got to think about that. I guess my head, I go a couple steps past that. You know, he's saying also, you know, in the vote, before the vote, that, you know, and also don't worry about it, people, because we're gonna lose these things in less than a year anyways. So I guess I'm saying somewhere in a year, I mean, if it was I'm just throwing a number out. Say it was going to be $6,000 to relocate. Half that cost is $3,000. They have to get rid of them. So does the contract say with Flock, you know, hey, when this contract expires, if you no longer want that, does Flock come get those? I mean, I've got to believe that those, I've looked at them. They're just poles on the ground. Have you ever had a fence put up, a chain link fence put up? The posts are very easy to set. It's not a big, you dig a big hole and you put a bunch of concrete in there and everything. It's nothing like that, Scott. So it's not the process that it's being made out to be, number one. Number two, I'm just saying, I'm just bringing it up for the sake of argument of, you know, where's the money going to come? You know, if he vetoes it, if they stay there, where they're going to be, and hypothetically, when that contract expires anyways, in less than a year, there's going to come a cost to remove those, even if you don't relocate those.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, and I also don't know how that all plays out. I don't know if the sheriff is going to foot that bill because he was the driver behind it, putting him in. I don't know. And I think, see, now this is an argument to me for did the people who voted to remove them get all these questions answered before they took this vote? I don't think they did.
Questions? No, the answers have not. I've been asking the questions. So, no, they didn't get the answers. As you say, people listen to your show. People show up in council because they listen to your show and they know certain people are going to be there. I just don't find this whole thing that, I mean, come on, let's just all be men and adults. Let's all be adults and look at each other and quit playing these games. Well, you didn't ask me directly and you didn't this and that. Come on now.
No, I'm talking about the people. I'm saying the people who voted to remove them. Did they look at the finances of this? Did they have a conversation? Because the sheriff was there the week before. Did any of the people who voted to remove them, did they ask about the cost? Did they ask about what would happen if the cameras went the full term of their duration, which would be, you know, 9 more months? Did they...
And those are questions that all need to be asked and understood, and in my opinion.
Well, right, and I think that was maybe one of the problems in suspending the three reading rule and voting on this the first time out, because I'm not sure that everybody did have their questions answered, and maybe that'll drive a veto. I don't know, but I know the clock's ticking.
But you got to remember, when it was still in committee, and as Ralph Smith said on your show, he's always going to let the people speak. If there's people there to speak, when he sent it to council, he did not take any more comments. He even made the comment that, you know, we've beat this to death. Just, I'm paraphrasing. That, you know, it looks like to him it's the same people in the crowd and they're going to say the same thing. So if you recall, he did not let any comments the last time before he sent it to council.
Right. No, and I think at that point...
I hear what you're saying about the... I hear what you're saying is that, you know, in one respect, they say they don't... I think there's a need and a use for emergency clauses. I think there's a need and a use for suspending rules from time to time. I don't think it should be the norm. In this city council, and this is the only one I've been aware of that I've been watching, I'm not saying others don't do it or didn't do it, they seem to use it a lot. And I've made comments on your show many times. To me, when an admin is constantly coming at the council with emergencies, and this has to be done now, it just seems to me, it gives me the impression that they really don't have a grasp of the situation. It seems to me that they're playing everything day by day. They're fighting fires daily, and they're just fighting the fire that they're fighting today, and they have no clue what fires come. They should have some advanced knowledge. they should be able at this point to be able to see, and there should be, you know, I would think in the computer age, there should be notifications coming up on people's computers saying, hey, we've got to revisit this. Hey, we've got to talk about this again, or we have this contract coming up. I mean, it just seems strange to me. And so with that, you know, in one breath saying, I want this to go through and have three readings, and then Aaron seizing the moment, because, I mean, he was very much criticized before for losing the moment. He had the moment before, and they should have voted for it, and they didn't. And so then now came a time, I guess Aaron felt that, you know what, we have the vote here. I will commend him for addressing the emergency clause. I mean, he took the emergency clause out, and he could have left it in there, and if it would have passed, then this whole veto issue would be moot.
Well, not really. The mayor could have just vetoed it the next day.
So explain that.
I say if you put an emergency clause, now this is my understanding, if you put an emergency clause, it means the mayor needs to sign it immediately. But the mayor does not lose his veto power because he could have just vetoed it before he signed it.
Because it didn't pass with a certain majority.
No, it could have passed, but he does not lose the power to veto. So
no, I'm saying the only time he loses his power to veto is if it passes with a higher majority.
No, he's always got it.
He's always got it?
He's always got it.
Okay.
So even if it had an emergency clause that it needed to be signed immediately, he wouldn't have had to have signed it. You can't force the mayor to do anything. And the mayor could have just vetoed it rather quickly.
Well, no, you're not forcing him to do it. If he doesn't sign it just becomes...
I think it makes it able for him to sign it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So does he have... So if he vetoes this, how does council beat his veto?
They would have to get 6 votes to overturn his veto.
And then does he have another veto, right?
Yeah, he could veto it again.
So this could just go on perpetually?
No, I believe you can only do 2 vetoes. And if they're both overturned, then I think that's pretty well it. But you would have to get 6 votes. And the interesting thing is that's why timing of this is very interesting, because there's not a 6th ward council person right now.
No, I get that.
So,
I understand that.
So essentially, you know, you have 3 people. First of all, you'd have to keep all your people together, all 5 of your people together, which I don't know. See, it's one thing to vote for legislation. It's another to overturn a mayor's veto. I don't know if everybody...
It becomes political then, and it shouldn't be. They don't want to go against their... And they hammer and stammer and all that when you... It, you know, because they don't want to say it. They don't want to say it out loud.
Like,
when
I don't...
It comes down to, they have to... am I going to represent my party? Am I going to represent my people?
Like,
I'm respecting Ms. Larkin for saying that exact same thing.
Right. I don't know if Dan Clark would vote to overturn the veto. He voted for the legislation, but that's different than overturning a veto. That's a different issue. And I don't know that he would vote to overturn a mayoral veto. Then you have to get, even with all those people still in line, even if you still had Thad and Aaron and Kreider and Dan and Nathan, even if you still had all of them, then you've got to persuade Ralph Smith, Pam Larkin, or Sean Barr to vote to overturn the veto, because you're still going to need another vote. And I
Pam's on the fence, and I think if I had to bet, I'd bet that Ralph Smith's going to vote, you know, he won't overturn the veto, but he is listening. I'll give him that.
Well, here's the thing, and I think people, and this will get lost in the social media, because here's the thing that I said yesterday, and this is very important. Whatever the mayor does, he will be knocked for it. And you can guarantee that if he vetoes this, almost immediately he'll be slashed on social media. which should not happen. Now, you should be allowed to give your opinion. Well, I think the mayor did the wrong thing. I think he did it for this reason. You can say that, but he'll be slashed. He'll be criticized, and it'll be rough criticism. It'll be the same dumpster fire it was at the FOP page. It'll be that.
Let me ask you this. Is there any politician anywhere in the country that just gets a free ride?
No, but with this particular issue, I think a lot of people are drawing lines, as I've said, that I don't think are fair to draw. I don't think it's fair to say that the mayor is going against the people's will, which I keep seeing all the time. Because then you would have to say that every veto that any mayor has done has been against the people's will. Because the only time a mayor does a veto is when legislation passes that he doesn't like.
Technically, if he vetoes, he is going against some of the people's will, isn't he?
Well, I don't know because
does the statement say that I'm going against all? I mean, so if we're gonna get everything down to the technical wording of stuff, unless it's a 100% something, unless the voters vote for it 100%, and every person in the county that is eligible to vote, you see where I'm going with that?
Well, yeah, but then we go down the rabbit hole though. Because then we have
right,
to say,
exactly.
But then we've got to say, well, Thad Smith voted against some of the people's will, because I'm sure.
Yeah, you're right, and you can keep going and going and going
right,
and going.
Right,
with but
that.
What? I get what you're saying.
Right,
dude,
but what I'm saying is again, I think it's fine to say that you don't like what the mayor does if he does veto this, but I think the criticism will be far more harsh. I think it'll be far more. I think people will start drawing lines between his background and so on and so forth. And I don't think that's fair. I think the mayor is taking this into consideration as a mayor. But you can guarantee that if he doesn't veto this, boy, he'll be the most popular person on those flock pages. He'll be the greatest thing since sliced bread if he doesn't veto it. So that's the hypocrisy. As we wait and see what happens,
I agree, and it is a hypocrisy, but I also will say, anybody who jumps into the political arena and then gets shocked by this, right or wrong, especially in this era of politics, to me, that says, wow, you must be a little disconnected from reality. That's the way I felt about Trump, and I voted for him the first time because I thought he had an opportunity to buck the system. But he gets stuck on him, and me, and it's just like, come on, guy.
Let me get this in before the break, because this is a question we started with. My understanding, and some other people's understanding out there this morning, is that Flock leases the equipment and the technology and the usage of the Flock safety system. Flock retains ownership of all tangible property and property technology. The only thing a Flock customer would own are images collected by the camera via the downloaded Flock cloud. Now, the $600 that is being floated around is most likely a relocation fee. If the contract ends with Flock, they would remove the cameras at their own expense because that is the end of a contract. If the city doesn't fulfill the contract that the sheriff has signed, that's where the relocation fee comes. So, if it goes the term of the lease, which is next year, nobody would pay anything to have them removed. The $600 is a relocation fee, which Flock has not agreed to because they're in a contract.
I would guess if I was the sheriff and I knew all of this and I was aware of my contract, which I should be, I would prepare myself for if and when a time came that I'm going to have to remove these. I would be, as he's aware now, that this he's going to lose funding. So I would hope that he planned for a contingency and he put aside however much money he's estimating that was necessary from that grant or the money that he saved this last time when the contract was extended and all of that, and there's question whether it came before council correctly. But, I mean, again, the right leadership keeps the money there and keeps it, you know, ready to go to do what needs to be done in the future.
Well, I don't think the sheriff set aside any money, because I think he fully expected to fulfill the contract. I guess
that's a mistake. How'd that work out for him?
Well, but that's the city's decision to end the contract early. So
okay, but if you're not paying, again, if you're a leadership and you're not paying attention to vibes, if you're not paying attention to the vibe of the country, if you're not paying attention to the vibe of the state, and you have the FOP president, you have you got Mr. Davison, Kev Mann, you're missing that.
Well,
that's not leadership.
Well, we got to go to break, but I just want to say this. I'm sure at some point, a matter of fact, I think there were conversations that happened at council, that if these cameras, if they were able to get a grant to continue them, I don't think the police chief had any problem with that. And I think up until this point, that was the okay to keep them in the city. It took legislation.
The police want to keep their tools. I get it.
Right. So, I mean, if the council decides they don't want them, the council is saying, we want to remove them. And with that removal, you're terminating early, so that would fall on you to relocate them. Or else you should have, before you made this vote, you should have went back and looked at the contract before the sheriff
exactly.
put them up.
And you know what? That's what I would say to the people, to look at back when Ayers Ratliff was involved. Look back when Jason Schauber was involved. And they all hated him because they made their meetings go long, because they were about the details. And the devil is in the details. And that's why we keep getting in these positions that we're into, because they act like they got this shit, and they don't. And nobody's preparing for contingencies.
And we're going to break. We'll be back.
Great.
Work out their own. But I would say, a part of it would be that you are glad.